Welcome back. Here to wrap up KER Politics. Going to talk a little bit about some of the candidates, some of the Republican candidates, just briefly here in terms of for the big seat. Obviously, that is the man who's going to sit in the executive office. I would say right now the decision is probably between DeSantis, Trump, and Ted Cruz. Now, the question that I have that I think is really interesting, Jimmy, is something that I realize, and that is 111 out of 119 candidates who Trump has supported, those candidates have done very, very well in the elections. Is that going to give Trump a really stronger stance when it comes to who the Republicans are going to run in 24?
Absolutely. I think so. You'll see the media and you'll see some Republicans that will say, hey, look, you know, we've got to go with DeSantis, or we've got to move away from Trump. But these numbers of endorsements and actual victories in primaries are phenomenal. He's at a 94% success rate. That's unheard of in politics. If you're better than 50 or 60%, that's phenomenal. I mean, take a look at how many endorsements for Biden. In fact, many Democrats are not accepting endorsements from Biden because they just don't want to be associated with this government right now. So yes, when you're talking about Trump's influence over the party and his experience, and this is, you know, J.D. Rucker does the Liberty Daily. It's a blog that actually puts, it's very similar to Citizen Free Press. He posts just, you know, headlines, and then you can look at the different articles. But he writes as well, and I actually commented on one of his articles where he said, hey, look, I got to go towards DeSantis. If Trump gets the nomination, of course, I'll support him. But we've got to look at something new. What I argue is Trump probably did not understand the depth of the corruption in Washington, D.C., how bad it really was, how deep the swamp was. And he was absolutely hamstrung by Republicans, both in the Senate and the House and in the executive branch. People like Jim Comey, quote, Republican Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, which is, he's a Democrat, there's no question. But you had officials and government DOJ officials and FBI officials that undermined the administration for the entire time he was in office. You had the intelligence community do that. He understands that a lot better than anybody else right now. And if he makes the right types of selections, and unfortunately he was advised, look, he doesn't pick everybody. He gets recommendations from different groups and organizations. But if he makes the right selections, and I understand, my understanding is he's preparing with some key people to have basically, if you will, almost a shadow government in preparation for if he does run, that he will be able to take the actions in order to set this country back in the right direction. He did an incredible job in those first 3 years, 3.5 years. But that last year with COVID, he depended upon government officials that were absolutely undermining his authority, and he trusted them. That was a mistake. I don't think he would make that mistake again. Now, if you have a DeSantis or a Cruz or a Nikki Haley or a Mike Pompeo, Mike Pompeo probably has a pretty good understanding of it. But some of these other people, they don't have that White House experience. So I think Trump, with that knowledge, with that experience, and with the political power that he wields and the trust and support from a large percentage of the American population, a very large percentage, and very well trusted within the Republican Party, I think he has the advantage. I think he's got the advantage. The downside is his age, and also on occasion when he, you know, makes decisions and puts people in place based on ego or recommendations that actually undermine him. But I think he is the most influential and powerful guy out there. It's pretty clear that that's the case. And in spite of the media attacks and trying to undermine a couple of the losses, he's undermined him with a couple of losses. I think it's a completely different game than what happened in 2015, 16, and actually what happened in 2019 and 2020.
Jim, we've talked about Ron DeSantis, we've talked about Trump, we've talked about Ted Cruz. We really haven't talked very much over the past few months about Nikki Haley. Give me an opinion on her, would you?
So Nikki Haley, she was governor of South Carolina, and while governor of South Carolina, she did a couple of amazing things. And I'm going to give one really. She ensured that every state employee realized that their job was to work in the best interests of South Carolinians. So when you call an office, they are there to respond. And I'll tell you, that took hold. I live here now and I see it, and it's a very powerful influence to actually say, my government's here to support me, not take control of me. Government doesn't grant me power. Government protects my power and looks at my interests. So that's one thing that Nikki Haley did. There's another thing. When that young man went into the most, you know, longest historical black church in America and shot everybody, she went down and she managed that without any of the violence that came with the, and they basically didn't allow people like Al Sharpton or some of these other, you know, really negative influences that inspire hate. Didn't allow them in, and neither did the community. And you know what? A very large black population in South Carolina, and she really worked it well, and there are more and more black conservatives coming out here. And of course, we've got Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, black conservative Republican, very influential guy. And then Nikki Haley also, she brought a tremendous amount of business and industry to South Carolina. The economy is roaring. People want to live here. They're coming from all over the Northeast. They're coming even from Florida. I just sold my house to a couple from Florida. Nikki Haley, very influential. On the downside, she has a little bit of that negative anti-Trump, you know, afraid of his personality, and is afraid of being a little too bold. And she was pretty good in the UN, you know, when she was the ambassador to the UN. She was pretty bold.
You bet she was.
So I think she's a candidate. She's a good candidate. But I think, again, she made some comments that undermined Donald Trump after she left the UN position. And I think that would hurt her in the long run. I think she'd be a decent candidate out there, but I just don't believe that she would have the influence in order to overcome a Trump run. But yeah, at the same time,
fair
you
enough.
Know, Ted Cruz, a lot of these guys probably won't do it.
We got a little over 2 minutes left here. Let's kind of summarize what's going on in the economy. I'm paying $6 a gallon for premium gas. I have to run premium gas in my car. And I have made the decision that I'm going to do that. I love my car, and there is no reason in the world that I'm going to, you know, get an electric car or what have you, because I really love my car. I saw milk for sale in Blaine, Little Blaine, Washington, $6.50 a quart. That's pretty darn high. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm seeing the price of oranges. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. The price of oranges has gone up probably 25% or thereabouts since I got on my health kick. Don't people understand how rotten our economy really is? I'd like you to elaborate on that. And why don't they get it?
Well, you know, maybe people in Washington don't, but people in South Carolina do. A lot of people around this country, farmers, they're having to pay tremendous prices just to get their materials and feed. It's costing a fortune. You've had tremendous problems with not only the supply chain issues, but just the inflation issues. The gas, the energy, everything is run by gas, oil, energy. That's going to have an impact, long-term impact. This administration, this regime, the Biden regime continues to try to find someone else to blame and actually makes comments like it's bizarre to blame me for inflation because of my, you know, printing $1.9 trillion.
Right.
You know, it's not having an oil policy and energy policy that actually stifles domestic energy.
Yep.
I mean, of course, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is totally ridiculous. You know, the comment that I would make right now in wrapping this thing up is to say that everything in our country is really going poorly. I don't really much care about the alternative sexual preferences of some people. That's not for me to judge. I will say I just don't understand it, but that's, again, that's just a comment about Al Corlin. What I want to say here is that changes need to be made. You guys out there, get active. We'll be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.